Today, I will talk about a kind of sensitive topic a little bit, but I believe it's one of the important topics that we should feel freely to address and to talk about it openly, which is talking about violence in the name of God, or if you want to say it, talking about terrorism, talking about extremism, and I'll be very frank and honest from the beginning. I'm here not to talk about any, just to talk generally about the violence which is take name on earth by name of God or by name of any religion. I'm not just here to talk about very general, general talk or talking about all kind of terrorists exist out there in the world, and there's so many of them. As you will see or you hear, inshallah, today, that terrorism has nothing to do with a particular, is not only related to a particular religion or a particular race or a particular country. Terrorism is something that exists in every religion, in every community, in every, it could be exist in every community and every religion and every race or ethnic group. So it's not only exists in the Muslims or the non-Muslims or the Christian or the Jews or in America or overseas or in Afghanistan or in Iraq. No, it could be exist in every country actually. That's why I'm not going to be talking about terrorism in general and extremism in general. I will be very specific from the beginning, and I want you to understand this because it's a key point to my speech today. I'm only going to talk about terrorism, which is, or act of violence, which is done by the hand of Sunni Muslims. So I'm not even talking about the extreme groups among the Shia, or the terrorist group among the Shia, or the extremist among the Shia, or the Durzis or the Alawis or any group like that. I'm only concentrating about those. Yes, they are minority. Yes, they are not the mainstream Muslims at all. They are a small portion of the Sunni Muslim group who have taken that route, the route of extremism. And as for us, as Ahl Sunnah, we call those people who goes to that direction innovators. Even we don't give them the title Sunni in a term which it means that people who follow the Sunnah. No, we always refer to them through the history of Islam as Al-Khawarij or the innovators or the people of the, they used to call them the people of the sword, Ahlu Sayf, Ahlu As-Sayf. And the ulama was very worried about this group. To the extent you will see commonly said by the early Muslim generation, so and so person have came up with a lot of innovations. But whenever he start calling people to the sword, you need to carry weapons, to start transfer, that person will be transferred from just a theologian or a person who promote maybe innovations and wrong ideas, and he start carrying weapons to support this idea, and he start carrying arms and recruiting people to bring violence and disturbing to the community. They said whenever he said that, that the moment we have no more tolerance to those people. We احتملنا منه كل شيء حتى جاءنا بالسيف حتى جاءنا بالسيف. Also, I'm not going to talk about the definition of terrorism and what how we define it. I'm sure you all know about all the debates about how exactly we define terrorism, because that's not what I'm interested in today, to spend the whole lecture about what is the best definition and how much accurate this is, and is this fit every group who carry, for example, arm or weapon for liberation or for their, we call them freedom fighters. Is this terrorism applied to them? How can we find a perfect definition? I'm not going to go through that. For me, terrorism, act of violence, which is illegal, which is basically, it's not legal or it's not halal by the rules of Islam. Anybody transgress or anybody cross the limit of the Sharia, or carry any act of violence, which is considered in Islamic law, it is a forbidden act, those people, we call them the people who spread corruption in earth, the people who are transgressor, ظالمين, or الطاغين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَطْغَوْا. Don't cross the limit. Don't break the rules of the Sharia by doing things against others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَلَا تَبْغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Don't wish to spread corruption in earth. Indeed, Allah, or verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't love those who spread corruption in earth. And corruption here in this earth, means that those who will spread disturbing, while not allowed law to be in order in cities, they will take the life of innocent people, they will destroy urban areas and attacking basically the communities and destroying their wealth and their civilization, if you want to say that, or destroying their cities and their governments. If it's done un-Islamically, if it's done un-Islamically or been done to an innocent people. Also in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses another word, which is an interesting word. It's the word that's called al-ghulu, extremism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, the people of Book, don't be extreme in your views. Don't be extreme in your religion. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iyyakum wal ghulu, be aware of extremism. Be aware of extremism. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, halaka al-qal, halaka al-mutanatti'un, 3 times. Those who are extreme will never achieve success in life. Actually, halaka, it's a prayer against such people. And Nawawi rahimahullah said, al-mutanatti'un are the extreme one, the one who will cross the line, who will do what is not lawful in Sharia. So basically, I'm talking about the extreme group, about those who will break the law of Islam, those who will attack and kill innocent people, and those who will not hesitate also to bring disturbance to the communities. Regardless if it was done against Muslims or against non-Muslims as well. Because all human, their life is sacred and their life is protected and their blood should be saved, not to be spilled or to kill. And we will come inshallah to talk more about this issue specifically. Before I go even deeper to my topic today, I always hear this question: Sheikh, why do you talk about such things which is not popular? I lived all my life, I've been Muslim a lot. The only terrorist I have seen what Fox News bring on their news, or what I see in the media, in the mainstream media, or even the media in general. All they talk about the Muslim extreme and the extremism among Islam, and even people say not all Muslims are extremists or terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims. Things like that. They said, Sheikh, are you influenced by these ideas? Why would you waste your time and waste our time to talk about such topic? If they are minority, why we are bothering ourselves with? Why we are talking about them? I'll tell you the truth. Yes, they are minority. Yes, they are a small portion of the Muslim community in general. And anywhere in the world, they don't represent the mainstream Muslim. They don't represent the mainstream scholars in Islam. They don't represent most of the Muslims in anywhere in this world. They don't represent any mainstream da'wah group or movement in the Islamic world. In the past or in the present, but they are exist. The whole point is, if you agree with me that they are exist and they have influence and their message coming across through internet, through books, through tapes, and also it is one of the tricks of the devil to mislead so many young people and young brothers and sisters as well, And we have seen in the recent days increasing in number in this area, not only in the militant group, but also to those who have kind of support emotionally to such group. And maybe you will find that there are so many people might agree with the terrorist group's ideologies and ideas and what is they calling for, even if they disagree with them in how to represent or how to, for example, to they don't agree with them in the way that they carry their ideas out through violence. But even this area that you agree with them, agree with them in their ideas and their ideologies, some of it can be very dangerous, because this is the first step to be an extremist. This is the taking the first step to go to that route, and the person, if he enter, God forbid, there is no stop, there is no break. It's like going downhill. So that's why I think awareness, it's very important. Taking caution is very important. Educating the Muslims about this is a very important issue. Especially, I'm saying, in these modern days, and I mean by modern days, this few years back, we have seen increasing in numbers, and the message being sent influence heavily towards the Muslims everywhere in the world to support, or at least to be sympathizer with the terrorist group, wherever, whatever name they might take, or extreme ideas and views. I don't believe that small portion means nothing. Sometimes when people said, oh, I'm fine with 90%. You know, what's 10% in front of 99%? Even 99% sometimes is not good enough. Sometimes I'm not a perfect trying to make everybody here perfect, but I mean, don't ever underestimate small number. Small number can have a great impact or great effect. I just would like to ask you a question. What do you think of 99.9? Does that sound very good number to you? If I said to you, I will do this job, I'll do 99.9%. Is that good? Yes, it is, sounds good. But I'll tell you that if it's 99.9% is good enough, then 12 newborns in America, 12 newborns in America will be given to their own parents daily. If 99.9 good enough, that's what it will lead to. 114,500 mismatched pairs of shoes will be shipped each year. If 99.9 is good enough, 2 million documents will be lost in the IRS every year. Oh, that's good, huh? If it's 99.9% will be good enough, it will be 18,322 pieces of mail will be mishandled every day. 2.5 million books will be shipped with the wrong covers. 2 planes in Chicago O'Hara Airport will be unsafe. They will make unsafe landing every day in Chicago O'Hara Airport. If 99.9 is good enough, 20,000 incorrect drug prescription will be written to the wrong person every year in this country. If 99.9 is good enough, 880,000 credit card in circulation will be turned out to have incorrect cardholder information, or the wrong magnet strip on it. It will not be given to the right persons as well. If 99.9% is good enough, you will have 5.5 million cases of soft drink produce will be flat. Wow. 99.9%, if it's good enough, do you know that 291 peacemaker operations will be performed incorrectly? 99.9%, if it's good enough, you will have 3,056 copies of tomorrow's Wall Street Journal will be missing one of their sections. Anyway, so basically, I believe even if they are a minority, I believe even if they're not so popular, but still they are a problem we need to deal with. Terrorism and extremism became a global issue. Everybody talk about it. Even president want to be elected, he need to show how tough he is against terrorism. And unfortunately, talking only about the Muslim terrorist group, but we know that terrorism is not, as I said, related to only one religion, one ethnic groups, or one community. It exists in every community, exists in every, basically, it could be exist in every country, could be exist in every religion, and carried by various different kind of people. So, as I said again and again, my talk today only to concentrate on one specific group, because I'm talking to Muslims, I'm talking to Sunni Muslims, I'm one of the Muslims, I'm Sunni Muslim, I'm one of the mainstream who care so much about my brothers and sisters that they will be going towards that direction and to be influenced by the ideologies of this extreme group, I believe, as the Muslim jurist said early in the days, الدفع أسهل من الرفع الوقاية خير من العلاج. It is very good to be safe, better than being sorry. It's very important for you to prevent. Prevention is much better than cure. To prevent yourself from being sick, it's much better than having the medicine to cure yourself with later on. So if we can prevent ourselves, educate ourselves, protect ourselves from these ideologies, so if ever I come across somebody who carrying it, or while I'm surfing in the internet and I come across any one of the any website promote such things, I got an email talking about things like that, I know how to protect myself. I know that this is not the right people to listen to. They're not the right websites to be visiting and to look at. Not because you're afraid that your IP address will be picked up by the FBI. No, because you want to protect yourself. You want to protect your heart. You want to protect your mind from being among the extreme ones. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my shafa'ah, my intercession in the Day of Judgment will not be given to two kind of people. One, the hamil al-Qur'an, the one who recites the Qur'an, and he or she are extreme. Extreme in their view, extreme in their practice, extreme in their judgment, basically. غالي في, they are extremists. And the dictators, rulers, and the dictators, rulers. I'm talking about this subject because it's very much related to my specialty. And my specialty is in Islamic theology. And we have, through the history of Islam, studying the history of the sects, a lot of movement who carry the same exact idea. And I was very shocked when I doing my own research that I found this extreme group is still sometimes using the exact same evidence that people used 1,000 years ago. The exact evidence, the exact verses, the exact hadith that they used 1,000 years ago to promote their false ideas, it's been also reused in modern days by these extreme groups. They are just extend for them. Seeing so many incidents happen in the world while I'm growing up, starting from the incident of Al-Haram, Al-Makki, when a group of extreme group, took over Mecca and locked the door of Al-Kaaba, where we're watching this on TV, we were living in this in these days, seeing some of the people that they used to come at our masajid, all of a sudden they disappear, and we hear that they are in Mecca, locking the door of Al-Kaaba, hijacking Al-Kaaba, basically the masjid of Mecca, and claiming that they have Al-Mahdi. And they did not hesitate to kill hundreds of people, hundreds of soldiers, and they will open fire on anyone who opposed them in that time. Not only in Mecca that movement, by the way, took place, it was a plot to be happening in different cities in the same times in Arabia in that time. Seeing what happened in the jihad in Afghanistan, and how that beautiful concept of Islam, which is helping your Muslim brothers in Afghanistan to free their country, the freedom fighters, as they call them, that jihad that have absolutely attract a lot of young Muslims. A lot of young Muslims. You might, so many of you don't know that so many young Muslims used to fly and to go from New York, from the Muslim country. They will even be giving up free tickets to go to fight there. But unfortunately, so many of those who we have seen, after they came back to our communities, to the society, and I witnessed that myself, with some weird ideas after that. There is something happened over there to so many of them, have shifted so many of their ideas, that they came back, and instead of coming back, some of them, the vast majority, alhamdulillah, they don't carry that, but some of them came back with a very weird ideas that we never heard of before, some extreme views, so much hate toward the society, toward the community, toward the scholars, toward the governments that they live in, toward the society, towards their families. And I have witnessed tens of stories of people that I have seen how they change in a very weird way in a very short time and start carrying all these extreme views and ideas. We have seen the Gulf War and how it's one and two, and how it also helped or raised that tone of this extreme group and movement to justify some of their violence actions. Also, the war that taking place today took place in Bosnia, took place in Somal, it took place in Sudan, with the movement, what happened in Sudan, and how this impact also some of those groups that they lived for a while in such area, and how it became another shelter for another group who, instead of going to Afghanistan, started going to Sudan and coming back to us with some views and some ideas, and even it was reached the peak in Afghanistan lately, and now in Iraq. You see it growing every, basically, in Algeria, and the movement that what happened in Algeria. All these incidents that happened, some might of you, some have seen, have lived, have watched carefully, or you even heard about it now in the news. All these incidents that happened around me and the people of my age and older, we saw how this is impact and shape all these extreme views through the last 30 years, at least 30 years or 20 years. Anyway, and I believe that I will share some of the points that I think it will help to give type of protection to us against such views and ideas. I will talk about several areas, and I will just pick some points in each area. First, I would like to say that terrorism and extreme, some facts about terrorism. One, terrorism or extreme views, and extreme, it means when you go beyond the limit of the Sharia. Beyond the limit of the Sharia. The kuffar, or the non-Muslim in general, they cannot draw the line where to stop. They use common sense, which is fine in some area. But for us as Muslim, we use something beside what we call common sense. Because the word common sense is very hard to define as well, as you might agree with me. The word common sense, yes, you can bring one, two, three examples, but to define what is common sense, it's also something we might not agree with. We might not all agree with. For us as Muslims, we know that the Sharia have given us limit, borders. We cannot cross that. So when you cross it, you became a transgressor. You became an extreme. You became a person who commit an act of bid'ah or innovations or a sin. So terrorism is something haram, forbidden in Islam. You see how the Muslims talk so strongly against the Khawarij, the most clear sects in the history of Islam represent the extreme views, who openly said that they allowed themselves to kill innocent people and righteous people such as Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda. To the extent one of them said, when I remember the killer of Ali, إني لأذكره يوما فأحسبه أوفى البرية يوم القيامة ميزانا. When I remember the one who killed Ibn Abi Muljim, the one who killed Ali, I would assume that in the Day of Judgment, he will be the best human. He will reward the higher place in paradise. The killers of Ali. That's how he think of him. That he is the most righteous, the best believer ever exists after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. They killed Uthman radiallahu anhu ardah. And they think that when they carry weapons against Uthman, they were changing the evil, they were making amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar. Those group, that's how these look at themselves. What the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about them, how they treated them. They fought them as Ali radiallahu anhu ardah did, and the rest of the sahaba and the companions and the successors and the ulama until the modern days. They have issued hundreds and tons of fatwas and wrote so many books against such views and such extreme idea. Just to give you an example from modern days, more than 30 years ago, because they always hear in the news, oh, Muslim scholars, they don't denounce terrorism enough. That's a myth. That's a myth. Oh, the Wahhabis or the Salafi or the group, all these people, they are ally with the terrorists. They don't denounce them. That's absolutely false. And that's how the people who have special interest, they come in the middle to use this incident to promote their special interest or hate against a certain group or against the Muslim in general. More than 30 years ago, Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah, my Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah, have issued a fatwa about hijacking airplanes. More than 30 years ago, not after 9/11. That's 30 years ago. He have issued a fatwa. It is forbidden to carry any act of violence against Muslim or non-Muslims by hijacking airplanes or kidnapping citizens or individuals, blowing urban areas like buses or like trains or like airplanes or buildings. And this fatwa had came out also in Egypt from the 80s against al-Jama'a al-Islamiyya and against the extreme group, the jihadis, so known as the jihadis group at that time, or takfir wal-hijra. We have to differentiate between two things. Islam do not promote terrorism. Islam is not a religion of extreme. It's not a religion of terrorism. But we might have some Muslims who are extremists. We might have a Muslim who is who happened to be an extremist or happened to be a terrorist person. Yes, they are exist, and you should not feel offended by saying that or hearing that. I feel offended if somebody said this religion is a religion of terrorism. But I don't feel offended at all when I know that there is some Muslims, they are terrorists or they are extreme. I know that there is always be misguided people. There will be always bad people out there. I remember one person asked me, a reporter, she said, or he's, I don't remember now, asked me, what do you feel about, how do you feel when you heard about the sniper in Washington? You remember that sniper who used to kill people? Said, how do you feel now that he's a Muslim? His name is Muhammad. I said, I feel happy that he was caught. She said, but him being a name is Muhammad. I said, so what? Do you think all Muslims are perfect? Among the Muslims, the gangs and the thugs and the thieves, and among them the doctors and the engineers and the students, they are like any other community. Among them the good and the bad and the ugly. That's the reality. Yes, our role as a community, we try to eliminate this group and try to fight them as much as we can, and we isolate them, protect ourselves from ideas. But you know what? I believe that this extreme views will exist until the Day of Judgment. It will never end. And this is a point I will mention later, inshallah. Because it is done and run in the thoughts of in the heads by the devil, by the shaitan. It's one of the shaitan's trick that how he mislead people. As long as the shaitan exists, as long as you will have extreme group. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Khawarij, those extreme group, will remain in my ummah until the false Messiah appear and they will follow him. As reported by Imam Muslim, rahimahullah ta'ala. As I said, terrorism is not related to certain country or race or gender or even to any social level. Like, for example, people say extremism appear only among poor people. That's not true. You might find an extreme people who are very rich people, have millions of dollars, and they turn to be an extremist, turn to act of violence against others. Yes, it is commonly spread among poor communities, unemployed people, also among youth, men more than women, but you might find women, and you might find rich people, and you might people who have very good jobs, older people will participate in such things like that. For example, one of the famous leader of the Khawarij, a woman, her name is Layla, and she entered Al-Kufa, carrying her sword, killing the Muslim of Al-Kufa, and she called the Adhan, led the Salat, and she was the first woman in the history of Islam to give Khutbah al-Jumu'ah. And after that, Amina would carry or follow her footsteps. But as a historical fact, at least known for the Muslims, she was the first one to pray Jumu'ah in Masjid al-Kufa. But I'm not sure if she led the prayer or not, but I'm sure now that she gave the khutbah. Why there are so many terrorist groups or extreme groups or terrorism became today? We have this problem in the Muslim world. We have beautiful religion, Sheikh. Why we have this exist? One, there are so many wars going on in our countries, in the Muslims' war. So many wars taking place in this time in the Muslim world. And wars is a very good environment for such group to grow and to be exist. Two, there is so much injustice in the Middle East in general. So much social injustice, so much injustice happened to the public by the hand of their rulers. There is a dictatorship taking place in so many of the Muslims' country, and that have created reactions towards that injustice to fight this injustice by taking sometimes the wrong means. Also, our Islamic heritage is so rich. So rich and so wide, and that give opportunity for people to take from that inheritance, from this culture, from this history, from this materials, can create from it some material to justify their action, to justify their actions of violence, their actions of violence. It's not a new issue. It's not a new group in the Muslim world. As I said, they exist before. But I think what is very interesting, which is need more study, it is for the first time, as far as I know, in the history of Islam, that this violence will be taking this shape against the non-Muslims, against the dhimmi, against the Ahlul Kitab, the people who live in the Muslim world. Usually, even in the time of the Crusaders, even in the time of a war between Muslims, even in modern days, when the Afghan war was exist against the Russian, we do not used to hear that people will carry an operation against Russia in Moscow or the Russian in Europe or places like that. That shift by declaring war against the whole Western world, for example, is something new, and it's shifting from its original, from what we used to hear before. And I think that part, it's a new thing, and it's a new movement, and new ideas need to be studied more and analyzed more. Terrorism could be came as a form of reactions which is most of the cases, but also terrorism can happen, not as a form of reaction, simply initiate that. And I give you, and I can give you for that example. Somebody will be taken to jail, will be tortured in his jail, and it happened in so many incidents. That person, his wife was beat in front of him, his children beat in front of him, he was humiliated, even to the extent that I can say sexually he can be assaulted, and to him or member of his family. He will be very frustrated, very angry, come out of jail, start leading and formulating group, and in no time, it's not only about taking revenge, that will be developed to develop a whole entire movement or a group, like what we see happen from the jails in Egypt, comes out to group like Jama'at al-Takfir wal-Hijrah, or Al-Jama'at al-Islamiyya, and other. It started in the jail. And it came out to carry weapons against the government, against those who support the government, against even the society sometimes. But that's one way for extreme group to be formulated. But another example, somebody will be very convinced that if you commit openly major sins, you become not Muslim. You become a person who deserves to be killed, because you have said something publicly not correct. So it's not just be reaction, something wrong happened to me. I had wrong ideas. I thought that Allah, if you order me to fight, it means anybody that I see in the Muslim, I can fight, and I can just carry weapon in against. So I did this because I have misunderstood the verse of the Quran or the Ahadith, or I've been misled by some sheikh or some clerk that they have taught me wrong information, then recruited, and I will be the person will be member of an extreme movement. So it can be a reaction, and it also extreme movement or terrorist group can come as they initiate the action themselves. The other fact I would like to say or to mention here, that terrorism can be done by the hand of individuals, and can be done by the hand of organization, and can be done by the hand of governments. So, not because I'm wearing the official the suit of the army or the suit of the police, it gives me a protection and it means I'm not terrorist anymore. Not because I am a leader of a country or a minister of in a government, it means I'm not a terrorist anymore. No, terrorism can be done by the hand of governments, can be done by the hand of individuals or organizations. You see how terrorist act took place by the hand of individuals, groups, and countries. Also, I've seen in regard to the terrorism that so many people always try to say terrorism is something foreigner, is not from us. For example, Muslim community, sometimes leaders of the Muslim community always say, there is no Muslim terrorist among the Muslim community in America. We don't have all these extreme are from outside. They are visitors, they are students. And they think they are safe by that. That's not true. It's very possible to have extreme group and terrorist group from the Muslim community, and I mean by that from individual living in America. That's not impossible. Likewise, in Saudi Arabia, they tell, all these terrorist groups in the beginning, they are coming from Yemen, they're coming from Egypt, they're not Saudis. But all of a sudden, they would hack with the fact that they are Saudis, they carry the Saudi citizenship, Somebody might say, they are all, for example, foreigner, or you may drop the citizenship of that person, and you think that you are free from responsibility. No, terrorism can grow in your own backyard and you don't know about it, unless you really pay attention to it, pay attention to these ideas. Always terrorism based on two things. Those who supported with ideology, with supported their ideologies, justify that for them by textual evidence from Quran and Sunnah, and also would be supported by those who give them the money and the weapon. So that's why I think fighting terrorism should cover these two areas together. Terrorist group usually, they get their support from any community by the reaction of the government. It's a very tricky game. They start something, the government reply with irresponsible sometimes reply, and they will be very harsh, unfair, unjust the way they treat the wrong action take place by the wrong group. So what happened? Everybody else started being sympathizer with the group who've been hit hard, who've been put in jail, been tortured. And what happened? The original case will be forgotten. And this is why the government has to be smart in the way they treat or deal with any terrorist acts take place. For example, people, they don't talk about 9/11 as much as they talk about how horrible America is by bombing the innocent people in Afghanistan and Iraq, and which is absolutely true. Killing hundreds and thousands of people in Iraq or in Afghanistan, it is haram, it is not right, it is not fair. That's what happened, and now the issue of 9/11 forgotten. But all the talk will be going towards how the reaction of the government. The government, they kill the president of Egypt, for example, so the people taken to jail, torture in the jail. People, they don't talk anymore about the assassination of the president. People start talking about how those people were tortured in the jail, which is absolutely fact, absolutely true, that not allowed. This will not justify doing that. But the problem during this mess, people miss the point. People forget about what originally initiated all of that, all of this. And this has happened so many times in the history of the Muslims' country, that always people take their support from the public by the reaction of the government. That's why the reaction of the government must be very wise. And as much as, and maybe this is totally against some of the view of politicians today, but that's what I believe in. As much as the confrontation take more the shape of confrontation between terrorist group and any government and any society, take towards the militant way, carry weapons, fighting one another, I think that make the terrorist group grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And as much as we stop that and we start opening more doors for dialogue, more doors for discussion, more doors to see what they have, what the point that they have, what the justification that they have against to allow them to do such things, and we bring them to the table to more discussion, I think as much as we can control violence, act of violence in general. As I said, terrorism is always based on most of the cases it's based on just case. Originally it's a just case, fair case. But you take this first fair case as a reason for you to reach that goal, good goal, with the wrong means. For example, abortion is something terrible. We don't like that. But blowing up a abortion clinic to kill the nurses and the doctors and the people in the abortion clinic, it's not a right mean. It's not right. It's not correct. Yes, occupation is something wrong. But killing the innocent people, killing the average person, blowing up people in the street is not the right way to fight occupation. Yes, winning the election was right, and this is something good. But after that, a government come and say, you know what, that election that you win is canceled. You're out, taking you to jail. Yes, it is something not right. Yes, it's a just case you have that this is not fair. But to use this to allow yourself to go and to start killing people in villages and to start spreading distractions in the country is not also right. Is not right. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, if I see my wife sleeping with a man and I kill her, you would kill me? In just case, she is fornicator, she is a protect, she's a woman who has a husband. In Islam, she deserves to be killed, for example. That's how he looked at it. What did Nabi ﷺ said? He said, yes, I will kill you if you do it. You will be killed if you do it. Because it's not up to you to carry the rules with your own hand. You have to bring it to the court. Otherwise, everybody will kill everybody and say, oh, I found her sleeping with somebody. I found him sleeping with my wife. No, it's not up to you anymore. It has to be through the right and the right channel, the right channel. I think the most difficult and the most dangerous period in the life of any extreme person, when that person decides to transfer himself from a civil person to a soldier, from just a citizen to become a soldier. That period of time is the most critical period. And I think it's our role as Muslims is always try, because whenever a person transferred to be a warrior or a soldier, it's very hard to convince that person to go back. But I think the work has to be mostly done, at least in the level of us as a student of knowledge and shiuch, an advisor, and a community level, in the area when a person not yet a soldier, when a person still thinking in it and still analyzing, still thinking about it. That's why Ibn Abbas, when he debated the Khawarij, when they line up together against Ali, Ibn Abbas went and debated them. Half of them, 5,000 of them, came back to the Sunnah. But after they started the fight, we never heard that they repent. After they became soldiers and carry a weapon and start fighting, we never heard that he debated them again and they come back to the Sunnah. Also, when a person, terrorism in general, terrorist group in general, they develop their case very, very fast. SubhanAllah. It starts something small and it became very big. For example, it starts as, oh, this is wrong. Then this is kufr. Then this person need to be killed. See how it goes from 1, 2, 3 to jump. And very fast, in no time, you reach to that conclusion. They start, for example, we fight for our rights. Then we fight for independence. Then we fight against the other identity, so it's not, we are the only one exist. So we'll be the only one exist. It developed from something small to became something big. Like for example, they said, we fight the government. Then we fight everybody work for the government. Then we fight everybody who agree with the government. The Khawarij, what they did, we fight Ali and Muawiyah. Then they said, we fight everybody fought with Muawiyah or fought with Ali. Then after a while, everybody agree with them. Then everybody did not line with us against them. See how it would develop? And that's how it is, these ideas and these ideologies. It's just grow this way. It's very hard to be controlled afterwards. Also, there is so much contradiction in their views in general. If you look closely, you will see that they ask people to promote Islam, and that's the reason that we are fighting and carry weapons to spread justice. Where is the justice in killing innocent people, children? Where is justice in killing women, elderly, citizen? Where is justice in killing people who have nothing to do with your violence? Where is justice when we know for a fact that some Muslims were killed by the hand of other Muslims in sometimes in Afghanistan, and their wives and their daughters were taken as slaves? Where is justice in this? Where is justice in blowing up a masjid in Sudan for Ansar al-Sunnah al-Muhammadiyah, where over 30 Muslims praying Fajr by RPGs and by the hand of this terrorist group? Where is justice in that? Where is Islam in such things? Where is, they said, contradiction. They always caught Bin Baz, Ibn Taymiyyah, Hashim Ahmad al-Wahhab. But in the same times, they consider them the Taghut, the Jibt. They are very extreme about, they are just a lie to the government. They are just puppet in the hand of the government. Why are you using their fatwa? And you say, I go to Ibn Uthaymeen, I'm my Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen. Then when Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said that this is haram or this is not allowed, now you put X on him. Why there is so much contradiction in their ideologies or their basically approach to people? Because they're not consistent in their message. Also, terrorist group, what really control them, not beside the wrong understanding, is the love for revenge. It's something personal. So many times it's a revenge. As this man, when he killed Uthman radiallahu anh, he stabbed him 9 times. He said, 3 for Allah and 6 for what I have in my heart against you. That's why when you hear somebody saying, oh, we're still thirsty for your blood, don't draw from Iraq. It's the language that you hear. It's a language of somebody. It's not about fighting occupation. It's about just the love for revenge. The love for revenge. It's became more a personal thing. It's like, that's why some of them, when you talk about the rulers, even if you say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide this, don't pray for him. He doesn't want him to be even guided. He doesn't want him to be guided. Terrorist group in general, they are very affected by their leaders from the early times. That's why in Islam, you will always see that the terrorist group in the history of Islam named after their leaders. Al-Azariqa, Al-Ibadiyya, after their leaders. And that's a very smart way, because that means to show you that those people, follower of that person, not of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't belong to any country. They don't like to be a citizen of any country. They like to free themselves from any national identity, which is something also interesting to know. One of the things that you notice clearly about terrorist group when it comes to their methods of fiqh, methods of using the evidence, the following. One, they will not collect all the related evidence to discuss one issue. They only pick and choose. And this is very shows you that whoever did that, their leaders, either they are very ignorant or they are doing this intentionally. That they pick and choose the evidence only support their ideas. And they will ignore totally any evidence, go against their ideas. Go against their ideas. I don't have time for examples. That's why I will just mention the points in general. Also, they would like to leave the clear evidence in Quran and Sunnah and to pick and to choose the evidence, the textual evidence, which is not clear. Which is not clear. For example, they will say, Allah said in the Quran, وَقَاتِلُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَّ. Fight the mushrikeen. Fight all the disbelievers. But they will not, for example, look to the other verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَقَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. Fight those who are fighting you. Fight those who are fighting you. They will, for example, take the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, everyone should be killed until he or she say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Okay, what about how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with the kuffar of Mecca when he conquered Mecca? Did he kill them all? How the Prophet ﷺ dealt with the Jewish of Medina? How the Prophet dealt with the Christians of Najran, South Najran. How the Prophet, why you leave also these very clear evidence and you take one text, one hadith, and the ulama have understood it in different ways and to pick and choose based on what? Also, it's very interesting that you see that they are very, when you deal with text evidence, they take it very literally sometimes and they don't try to understand the meanings of it. The meanings are of this textual evidence. Also, they don't look, they don't care about the understanding of the companions, of the scholars, of the early Muslim generations. And this is a clear sign to differentiate between our way as mainstream Muslim and their way. And I'll give you an example, which is very popular today. They use the hadith, and I'm sure all of you heard that. They use the argument the Prophet ﷺ said, move the mushrikeen, the disbeliever, from the Arab Peninsula. All the non-Muslims should be taken out of the Arab Peninsula. You see this hadith been used as justification to fight Westerns in Saudi Arabia or in Arabia in general. And they said, that's the rules. That's what the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to do. That's why we are fighting them, to kick them out of Arabia. Okay. And they said this hadith is something the Prophet ﷺ said before his death. طيب, did Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman understood this understanding? Is this how they understand the hadith? Didn't Umar himself, he's the one when the Jewish of Khaybar broke the rules. What he did, he asked them to move to Taym or Taymah, which is still in the Arab Peninsula. Didn't Umar radiallahu anhu ardah allowed the Christian to stay in Najran and allowed them to settle in Arabia? Didn't the companions of Muhammad used to have servants who are not Muslim living in Medina, and they did not kick them out, and they did not understand from this hadith that they all must be not exist in Arabia? They understood from this hadith that they not allowed in Arabia to have two religion dominate or two religion rules. But it doesn't mean more than one religion exists. No, that's not what the hadith ever meant, and that's not what the companions of Muhammad have understood it. Also, they never tell you what the meaning of the Arab Peninsula. Does it mean Mecca and Medina only? It means Mecca and Yemen, Al-Hijaz only? It means the whole entire Arab Peninsula? As you know, most of the scholars, like Imam Ahmed said, it is Medina and the villages around Medina. That's what the hadith meant. And Shafi'i said, it is Al-Hijaz. It is Al-Hijaz. We know that even the scholars allowed, some of the scholars like Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, allowed non-Muslim to visit Mecca and Medina. Allowed them as a visitor to enter it. To enter it. So all these opinions, all these difference of opinions, and the understanding of the scholar to sexual evidence, something will be hidden from the community. And one of the also issues, they don't differentiate between what is considered goal and means in Islam. They think, for example, jihad is a goal. It's a mean to establish something. It's not a goal for itself. It's not a goal. It has to be exist. They will allow themselves to kill people just because they are not Muslims. They are not Muslim. And no doubt that Muslim or non-Muslims alike, their blood is protected, is secret, is not allowed to be spilled unless they break the law which is deserved, which by this crime that they committed, like killing an innocent person, they will deserve the capital punishment. The capital punishment. And in the end also, one of the most important points here, that they thought that jihad, applying the punishment, can be done by the hand of individuals. No. It's only by, as Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah said, by the consensus of the Muslim scholars, the only one has the right to declare jihad is the ruler, not anybody else. Unless you protect your own home, somebody attacking you. And there is so other few points, and I think I have to conclude here by saying these some just few points as an advice. How can we basically, what is our role, or how can we win this war against terrorism? I think one of the things that we have to know, what have triggered this in the Muslim community. We see the reasons for some people to be misled. Like example, we have to be very blunt and clear about declaring our position from any extreme group exists or individuals or any doubt been raised by these groups. We talk about it openly. We bring the evidence to against it and to debate it and to show the Muslims clearly as a form of nasiha for them why this is not allowed, why this is haram. I think the media has to help us in this and not to promote or to deal with this issue of terrorism, to use it against Islam or to against Muslim or against some particular group in the Muslims' world. For political reasons. I think we have to fight terrorism for no personal interest. Not because I have companies of security that I want to promote. Not because a political gain that I want to get out of declaring war against terrorism. We should have war against terrorism because we believe it's wrong, we believe it's not right, and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least us as Muslims. And I talk about war, I don't mean literally carrying weapon. I think our role is in ideologies in area. We have to bring the du'at, the scholars, more into the field in this area. They know them better than anybody else. They know their ideologies, and to fight their ideologies before somebody adopted. I think we need more books to be written in this area, showing, as I said, the evidence related to the doubts that they raised regard to jihad, regard to killing, justifying killing Western in general in their country or in the Muslim country, and refuting these doubts in different languages, in Arabic, in English, in Urdu, in Persian, and so on. Also, we have to be fair and just when we talk about terrorism. We should not also be extreme in our views. Like some people said, those terrorist groups are non-Muslim, are kuffar, are murtaddeen. And also some people are not consistent. For example, he will feel so mad against terrorist act if it takes place in Riyadh, but he will not feel the same thing if it took place in London or it took place in, oh, it's in America or New York, I feel so mad. But if it takes place in Egypt or in Palestine, he will not feel the same feeling. I think it is haram no matter where it will take place, no matter it will take place by any hand. And as you see, there are so many details related to the subject, but I hope that through these words I raise some awareness among my Muslim brothers and sisters about this topic, and to be very careful in what materials that you are reading, what materials that you are seeing in the internet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.